Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
No doubt some of you listening will have been to see that, Hamilton, which is playing in Dublin at the moment. It's an example of a massive Broadway show that must have seemed like a fairly bizarre concept on paper if you think about it. It's a rap dramatising the life of a lesser-known founding father of the United States, and yet it has enjoyed major box office success around the world. In contrast, some musicals that would seem like obvious cash cows with built-in audiences have flopped, and Adam Maguire has been looking into the business of Broadway musicals and is here now. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
Have you been to see Hamilton?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't even watched the version on Disney Plus.
I haven't. I tried to watch the version on Disney, but I couldn't really, I couldn't gel with it. I think you probably need to see it.
I'll be honest, I watched a clip of Lin-Manuel Miranda doing a rap at the White House and it put me off completely. That's right. Honest. And that is probably not a fair reflection of it, but
Hamilton Philistines here. Anyway, it's doing exceptionally well,
I'm wrong, obviously. But
there's massive money to be made in musicals, isn't there, if you get it right?
It's huge. Like Broadway alone, the shows there are estimated to have a combined revenue of about $1.5 billion a year. And then the West End sent to contribute about £900 million to the London economy each year as well. And, you know, they are the kind of epicentres of the musical and theatre industry, but they really only represent a piece of it, because you would have smaller productions that are doing quite well for themselves in other places, other big cities. Toronto is another kind of hub, not to mention all the touring shows that come to cities like Dublin, for Hamilton being the example at the moment. Because if you get a big hit in Broadway or the West End, you travel around the world, you pack out theatres week in and week out, and you can potentially do that for years and years as well. You know, the Book of Mormon debuted 13 years ago, still on Broadway and the West End. It's coming back to Dublin soon as well, so bringing in plenty of money for Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Phantom of the Opera actually opened in London 38 years ago yesterday.
38 years.
Yeah, so, and you can still go and see it in the West End today. So it's still going strong nearly four decades on.
Let's have a blast of it.
The Phantom of the Opera lies there inside your mind.
That's the title track there from the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, as performed by our own Colin Wilkinson and Rebecca Kane there. So that was one clear success. But with big Broadway shows, there are massive risks.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it's a very risky investment. Estimated around 80% of Broadway shows are a commercial flop. Now, it's important to note that a commercial flop is when a show fails to make back the initial investment. You know, you can have shows that maybe run for years, are a critical hit, but they end up being a commercial failure because they're only making enough to kind of cover the weekly running costs. You know, that you're thinking of renting the theatre, paying the actors, the musicians, the technical staff and so on. That might be hundreds of thousands of dollars a week, and a show might make a little bit more than that, but if it's following, say, you know, the average maybe about a $20 million upfront investment to actually get it up off the ground, then it's considered a commercial flop if it can do that. Now, that upfront investment could be lower or could be higher, of course, depending on the shows. But it's a lot of money, especially for Broadway and West End, because it takes time to put these things together. You know, you would maybe have writing of the songs, of the script. You have to cast it. That takes time. Then they would tend to have a you know, out of town performances, maybe in a small theatre somewhere else in New York.
Test run.
Or, yeah, kind of a test run, see, get all the kinks out of the script, hone it. Then they have to rent the theatre on Broadway. They have to build the set, which can cost money. And then you do previews in Broadway, which are kind of like a little soft launch, again, just to get the last few pieces right before you actually do the formal premiere. So that's to say that, you know, a lot of time and money goes into these things before you actually sell a ticket and before it's actually going to happen. And, you know, the truth is no one really knows what's going to be a hit, because, you know, there've been lots of what you would have seen as slam dunks books over the years that end up flopping. Stephen Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along is kind of the classic example of that. And then you have shows that on paper seem like a terrible idea, but they end up being massive hits.
Right, so there's no magic formula, really. And one of those unlikely hits, we heard about Hamilton there, we heard the clip from it in the intro. Like, it's not an obvious story for a musical, but it's become just...
It's absolutely massive, yeah. Like, so Lin-Manuel Miranda, he did have some success before that with In the Heights, but still wouldn't have been kind of seen as the royalty that he is now in the musical world. But, you know, so when you went around pitching a hip-hop musical based on the life of America's first Treasury Secretary, you know, you'd be forgiven for kind of raising your eyebrow and saying, you know what, I think I'll pass on this one. But he spent 6 years basically building on the idea. He was putting performances on of some of the songs, which built a lot of buzz. It debuted off Broadway in early 2015, made it to Broadway in the August of that year, and was a massive hit. People were queuing literally for days to get tickets to this thing. Swept the board at the Tonys in 2016, which pretty much cemented the success. And to date, it's made around $1 billion on Broadway alone. And that wouldn't include the money from the touring company, including what's happening in Dublin at the moment, nor would it include the money from the performance that was filmed on for Disney Plus, or the money from the sales of and streaming of the album as well, which is very popular. Manuel Miranda is getting a 3% royalty on each performance of Hamilton.
So every single performance.
So he's doing very, very well. And of course, the success of that helped him to bag major projects with Disney, with Netflix. It led to the In the Heights film. And you'd imagine there's going to be a Hamilton film at some stage down the line. I think he's waiting for kind of the stage show to, you know, run out of steam a bit. But, you know, a film.
Well, they need to do that, because the broadcast of the stage show, I feel, isn't working. I mean, I tried it and
it's not going to be the same.
Yeah, couldn't get it. Now, another unlikely hit is this next one.
If it's time to try defying gravity, I think I'll try defying gravity, and you can't pull me down. Can't I make you understand?
So that's Kirsten Chenoweth performing Defying Gravity in the original Broadway version of Wicked. And this one is so successful, Adam, that there are not one but two blockbuster movies on the way.
Yeah, that's right. And this is based on a book, a 1995 book by Gregory Maguire, no relation, who until then had kind of been a children's writer, really. It was a revisionist prequel of The Wizard of Oz. Wasn't particularly successful at the time, didn't do particularly well. But one person who did read it was Stephen Schwartz, who was just coming on the back of working on songs for Disney's Pocahontas and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. He saw the potential as a stage show. He had to then get Maguire on board, and interestingly also to get Universal Studios to sign off it, because they had bought the film rights and wanted to make a live action film back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So he had to convince them to let him do the stage show first. The musical debuted in 2003, huge hit, gone on to multiple US tours in Ireland, the UK, Europe. It's been translated into Korean, Dutch and Spanish as well. So far, the Broadway run has earned it more than $1.6 billion. Globally, it's made somewhere in the region of $3.5 billion. And you know, there's two films coming out, so if they're a success, it will probably, you know, give it an extra bit of oomph on the stage. Yeah, not that it really needs it.
It's a staggering amount of money to be made from just one product. But I don't know why they're doing two films at more or less the same time.
Yeah, and from what I know of it, it doesn't really work that you split the story in two either. But
yeah,
I don't know.
There you go. Makes sense to somebody in someone's head. Now, that's not the most successful musical ever, though, is it?
No, and it's not even close, actually. This is number one.
I saw this in the West End and I think I had my mouth open the whole thing. It was just absolutely fabulous.
And you're not the only one who thinks that as well. Like, obviously, it's Disney who dominates, in just like everything else, really. The musical version of The Lion King, the biggest earning musical both in the US and around the world, even beating out Phantom of the Opera, which has a 10-year head start on this. So Lion King debuted on Broadway in 97. That was just 3 years after the film came out. And of course, loosely based on Hamlet. So Shakespeare really is the one that can get the kudos for all of this. But it's now Broadway's third longest running show. It also has productions in the West End, since 99, multiple tours around the UK, Ireland, and Europe, Asia, Africa. All in all, it's made $2 billion on Broadway. It's made $8.2 billion globally. And right. It's still running, so still
blowing
making more money.
Blowing them all out of the water.
Absolutely, yeah.
But as we've mentioned, and you took us through the numbers there, what it takes in terms of cost to get this to the point where you can even start selling a ticket, there's a really high chance of failure.
Yeah. And remember, of course, RTE tried its hand at a musical. It wasn't a success, lost a considerable amount of money for taxpayers as well. But there are some very big names that have been associated with some of the biggest Broadway flops over the years. Bono and The Edge, unfortunately, have their names linked to what's seen as the biggest one. Here's a song from, just to see if people can figure out what it is.
I think we've heard enough. Turn Off the Dark, performed by Reeve Carney, yeah, Scarlett Fia, Spider-Man.
You can hear the Bono sound to it, even though it's not Bono singing. But yeah, so the musical based on the superhero Spider-Man, it was Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was the name of the show. First announced in 2002, and it was fresh in the back of the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie, which was a massive hit. It kind of helped revive the superhero film industry after Joel Schumacher had destroyed it with those terrible Batman films. And the two U2 lads were tasked with writing the music for the show, but it took years to get off the ground. So readings of the show only began in 2007. It wasn't on stage 2 years after that, but even at that stage it had built up a budget of $52 million. So you're talking now maybe $20 million is the average.
Good God.
It was $52 million then. Part of the reason for that was the set they wanted to build. It had a lot of big screens, rigging for aerial acts, so you'd have Spider-Man, you know, flying over the audience and so on. And that set was also part of the reason why they couldn't do out of town shows as part of the preparations. You just couldn't build it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It also meant the running costs were huge as well, much bigger than you'd normally have. So that all meant it was going to be harder to make your money back if your weekly running costs are inflated. Eventually, preview started November 2010, 8 years after it was first announced. They wanted to start the actual debut by Christmas time of that year, but the premiere date kept getting pushed back while they tweaked parts of the show. They also had multiple cast members getting injured. They had multiple cast members who quit because it was taking so long to
just
actually
as you're
get to
talking,
the stage.
I remember reading reviews in the New York Times when it came out first. The poor Spider-Man actor was stuck in the middle of the stage on the opening night and couldn't be moved. It was just
everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. Yes. Eventually, finally debuted July 2011. The budget at that stage was $75 million. The running costs $1.3 million a week. So they had to earn at least $1.3 million to start actually making their money back. And actually, despite all the problems and the bad press, it actually did all right initially. It made a profit for the first few months. It even broke a weekly revenue record in early 2012. But given the size of that initial budget, it would have taken years for it to make the money back. Eventually, it closed in January 2014. There were talks at the time. They say we're going to move it to Las Vegas. That didn't happen. Apparently, it was a $60 million loss. When all was said and
done. So think carefully before you aim for the $8 billion success of The Lion King.
Yes, exactly. It's not always going to happen for you, unfortunately.
Adam Maguire, thank you so much.